It's 6:02. We'll open the meeting. At this time, I'd ask everybody to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and then a moment of reflection afterwards.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call on acknowledging our guests, please.
Good evening. Misty Key, Associate Superintendent, Fiscal and Administrative Services.
Good evening. Valerie Christman, Associate Superintendent, Educational Services.
Good evening. Dr. Roger Rice, Deputy Superintendent, Student Services.
Good evening. I'm Marty Bates, and I represent Area 2, which is primarily the Conejo Valley.
Hello. I'm Stan Manzi, County Superintendent of Schools. On my far right is Lisa Bork, filling in for Nancy Ackerman, my executive assistant. Thank you, Lisa.
Dean Kunicki, Area 4, representing Moore Park and Simi Valley.
Hello, I'm Mark Desigor, Area 3.
Mo Flores, Trustee Area 5, representing Metropolitan Wachsner.
Ask for approval of the agenda. Do we have anything they need pulled, removed, or can we give them food?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved to approve by Dr. Lissagor, seconded by Dr. Flores. I have no public comment cards at this time, so we'll
call for the question.
I'm sorry. Roll call vote.
Aye.
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 And one abstention because she's not here. At this time, I have no public comment cards, so we'll move into our hearing item C1, which will be the Inter-District Attendance Appeal Case Number 1512 from the Conejo Valley Unified School District. And prior to hearing that hearing, I'd like to turn the meeting over briefly to Superintendent Mantu that will explain some of our ground rules for this.
Thank you, Mr. President. First off, I'd like to ask that we all, when we speak more slowly, más despacio, as we have interpretive services tonight with the parent. And in addition to that, you will note at your places, which have been shared with the parent as well as the district, are two documents from the Conejo Valley Unified School District regarding students' attendance, grades, and behavior records, which have attendant confidentiality, and we would ask that at the end of this item or by the end of the meeting that we turn all of those in so that they can be recycled. The procedure we typically use is I will give a brief introduction of the facts and the case, and then the board will afford the parent an opportunity to speak to the appeal. And a response by the district. The board may elect to ask questions during any or all parts, either during the process or at the end. Please be aware that tonight we do not have a full five-member board. Therefore, if the vote is less than a majority, which is three, then the appeal will fail. If there are not three votes in favor of granting the appeal, if that were to transpire. In addition, we must mention that this board has no authority for the placement of the student at any school in the Conejo Valley Unified School District. So if the appeal is upheld, this board cannot make any guarantees or direction as to which of the four high schools in the Conejo Valley School District the student may be placed. With that, I would like to recognize our student, Jesse Ventura. Hi, Jesse. Jesse will be entering the ninth grade in the fall, first year of high school. The parent is Ms. Elizabeth Hernandez. The district of residence is the Moore Park Unified School District. However, the student did attend the Caneo Valley Unified School District on an inter-district permit, was attending Redwood Middle School, and the Caneo Valley Unified School District has revoked the current inter-district transfer permit of Mr. Ventura based upon attendance, behavior, and academic performance deficiencies. This action is allowable and in accord with the provisions of a Memorandum of Understanding between all school districts in Ventura County, which allows for the revocation of these permits based upon these types of issues. The family is appealing this decision for the following reasons. One, the student was bullied at his previous middle school in the Moore Park Unified School District, that would be Chaparral Middle School. Two, the student's counselor at Redwood Middle School in the Caneo Valley USD continues to function as a mentor to the student. Three, the student desires to enroll in the ETHOS program offered at Thousand Oaks High School in Caneo Valley. Number four, the student also wishes to participate with friends in athletics at Thousand Oaks High School. And finally, the student's older brother graduated from Thousand Oaks High School, serving as a role model to the student. Those are the facts in brief. We can now hear from the parents should they have comments.
Do we have a microphone for them?
Right there.
Oh.
Please feel free to
bring you can bring that down if you want to stay seated or you can stand up. Whatever works easiest for you.
Dr. Castle, can you move the button down? Thank you.
Other duties as assigned.
By the way, that's part of your health program from your district.
Well, that's good. I got 4 steps out of it.
She's just saying that she wanted to relay what she told me, but I said you need to repeat it so they can hear it.
Please move the microphone in front of your mouth.
I would like for you to give another opportunity to my son. Because he tells me that he doesn't want to go to any other school other than this. For me, it would be much easier for him to go to that high school because I work there. And here in Moore Park, we have nobody who would stay with him or who would watch him. That's it.
Questions?
Actually, Mr. President, I think I'd like to hear from the district first and then...
Let me ask a question first. You say you work there. You mean you work in Thousand Oaks or at Thousand Oaks High School?
No, I work in Thousand Oaks.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Before we take any other...
Dr. Castro, take the microphone.
Good evening, members of the board, Superintendent Mantu, county staff. As you can see, the appeal before us is actually pretty simple. The student, if you take a look at this handout, which is a summary handout that has the graphs rather than 10 pages of documentation, there's a picture in the upper right-hand corner, and it shows just a quick summary of attendance summary by class, GPA, and behavior. So you can see what I'm referring to. It's pretty straightforward. Jesse actually, if you look at his attendance in that first section, he has the equivalent of about 6 to 7 days of truancies. And later on, address what that means for a high school student. And you'll have at the back of your packet a portion of the 2014-15 Thousand Oaks Lancer student handbook expectation. So when we look at his attendance, he has the equivalent of 6 to 7 days of truancy. And that has an impact in particular for our high school students. So that's, but he's in eighth grade, and that's his current level. As a sixth grader, we'll discuss his behavior in a minute, but just know, rather than including all of the information from sixth grade too, just know that the behavior history and the attendance has been an ongoing issue in Conejo. So his sixth grade looked like this. So this is a pattern of multiple years within the school. This is not just a one-time thing for within the year. Looking at his GPA, you can see that his GPA at a low point in sixth grade has actually improved. So his grades actually improved from sixth through eighth grade. He ended up passing all of his classes his eighth grade trimester. So that's an improvement in his grades. The issue, of course, is that there are two concerns in particular for someone who is coming from another city to maintain regular attendance at any of our high schools, but in this case, Thousand Oaks High School, and the issue of a behavior. As the board is probably familiar, but the parent may not be, Assembly Bill 1729, passed in 2012 but effective 2013, changed the way that we do discipline in the schools. We no longer will suspend a student for defiance of authority. Those are the kinds of things we try and avoid. We try and do a lot of measures to avoid keeping a student out of the classroom. Consequently, you'll see a lot of Jesse's behaviors and were reiterated in the kinds of reports that every teacher that he's had in Conejo has stated that he is, although overall a very good student, and there are no issues there, and so please, I don't want to say anything pejorative about his character, but in terms of the way that he behaves in class, that he has been ongoing disruptive force in the classroom. He had poor citizenship grades by most of his teachers in particular, off and on throughout the time that he's had in Conejo, but his final report card indicated ENDS needs to improve in all four out of his six teachers. So the issue for us in Conejo is twofold, one of which is that he's had multiple opportunities to acclimate to the district. He's had multiple opportunities to have a variety of teachers, and yet, regardless of the teacher, he's struggled academically, but again, getting by, passing his classes, which is fantastic. But it's been the ongoing behavioral needs and issues. And so when we look at what is the impact to other students, it's a consideration that I would like the board to consider. Finally, if you take a look at the second and third page on the student handbook, because we did not have an opportunity to hear a local appeal, I think it's important for the board to hear and for me to be able to respond to one of the statements that Jesse made about wanting to stay at TO High School to be a student athlete. Right now, he cannot be a student athlete at TO High School. He doesn't have a minimum 2.0 GPA, has never had a minimum 2.0 GPA since his sixth grade first trimester year. He hasn't had a 2.0 at that point. So he will not be able to participate in sports. I'm not saying that there are other new information that we've learned even a little bit today that we've had an opportunity to hear. But in terms of his opportunity to be a student athlete, at least for the first semester, he will not be able to do so. So essentially what the issue is that has he demonstrated in his behavior a propensity to be a disruptive force in the classroom, thereby taking away educational opportunities from other students, and whether or not it is at such a level that he should potentially be educated in this case, Moore Park Unified, then reapply later on when he's demonstrated the ability to behave otherwise. The other concern that I have when I would review his discipline history going all the way back to sixth grade, because it was a portion of a seventh grade year where he was not with us, you'll see that are reflective in his eighth grade year, though, is that when he did have consequences, like simple things like that all students have, he had detentions assigned. On multiple occasions, he would not be accountable for the behaviors that he had in the class. It would not serve those detentions. In high school, those will quickly escalate to Saturday work studies, and then potentially over a period of time per AB 1729, possibly in-school suspensions. That's everything.
Questions at this time?
Ms. Kadinki, I think I have questions more. The package was so sparse on both sides that I'm having a hard time putting a ton of together. So if I may, I think I'm trying to understand. So the student was at the Moore Park School District until the fifth grade, and then he was requested and received an inter-district transfer to Conejo.
So what I can, having reviewed that timeline myself, I think the parent can respond to elementary school. For sixth grade, he was admitted during sixth grade. Looking at his attendance history, at some point, I think approximately about November or December of seventh grade, we don't have any records at that point. So we have no seventh grade records whatsoever. So I'm assuming he was at Moore Park, in Moore Park being educated. There was a transfer, and I know the parent can speak to this, a transfer of caregiver. There was a caregiver affidavit now with mother, and then so he's finished his eighth grade year in our district and is appealed for ninth grade at Thousand Oaks High School.
Okay, see, that's the part that I'm confused on, because what I heard was he was a student at Moore Park, requested an inter-district transfer to Conejo that was approved by District of Residence Gaming District.
Right.
Something happened in the seventh grade, but then he came back in the eighth grade, I'm assuming under the same inter-district transfer bill?
No, it would be a new, each time a student leaves and comes back, they have a new inter-district transfer. So, for example, earlier in the year in eighth grade with a different caregiver, there was a conditional acceptance given for the current school year. And then they have to reapply for a span. So education code allows, mandates and permits districts to accept inter-district permit applications within that span. So 6th to 7th to the 8th grade, not to exceed 5 years to accommodate for elementary school, and then of course 4 years for high school.
Okay, so he requested, the family requested, and was approved an inter-district transfer from Moore Park to Conejo twice, and that was approved?
Yes, once for a different caregiver and once for the current caregiver.
Okay, and now because he's matriculating to high school, he needs to apply again?
Yes, because it's a new span. It's a new grade span.
That five-year period doesn't...
No, because it's that five-year period would apply, like I said, for example, elementary school being a five-year span, and in some cases high school being 4 years for most and not necessarily 4 years for all.
I've got a couple of questions, but I guess this is a question for the family, actually for both of you, and for Jesse. I can't say always, but normally when you are in an inter-district transfer and it's approved, you should have been notified that when you're on a transfer, you're essentially under a behavioral contract. And just as the district had mentioned, if you do not maintain certain academic standards, if you do not maintain certain behavioral standards, then per that contract, the district within their right can reject the transfer. And I'm just trying to make sure that I understood that if that's the case, then that notification should have happened twice.
And that did. I didn't provide those documents because those documents are not part of this appeal. That was granted this most recent iteration, not including middle school, only for high school was the one that was denied.
So to follow up, I was a little confused too. I thought maybe the basis for your denial was that, as Dr. Flores said, Jesse is on a inter-district transfer right now. And under that, there are all kinds of agreements, and you have the right, if he doesn't perform up to that standard, not to renew his transfer. But you're saying, actually, either way, to enter into high school, it's a different circumstance.
Yes, and I will just give you, I've only been in this position for a year. This position in our district has only existed for a year. Although other duties, people have taken on the duty at different times. so far in the year that I've held this position, the philosophy has been that we do not deny, have not denied, I have not denied inter-district permits during the middle of the year because we philosophically are opposed to that. Although I understand that mid-year revocations cannot be appealed, it hasn't been our philosophy. We've allowed students to finish out the year. We've allowed them to try and redeem themselves, which is why when I accepted his eighth grade permit with a new caregiver, I stated that it was conditional. So that way it would be conditional to eighth grade, knowing that the family would need to reapply in a new span for high school.
I think I understand.
Okay. I need to answer better, I will.
A couple of questions. First of all, I'm going to follow up on that just a little bit. The transfer approval from Moore Park to Thousand Oaks for Jesse when he was in sixth grade, it started? And was that, according to that, to this transfer, according to the education code, does that expire when you go into high school? Now, typically, we have the right to give it until he finishes school. But I don't know about, there was no appeal to this board. It was between Moore Park and Caneo at that time.
And when there is a demarcation between grade span, like K through 5, 6 through 8, 9 through 12, that is when the district can request that the students again reapply for an inter-district transfer permit.
There's a trigger.
Absent extenuating circumstances like we're dealing with here, the districts typically do grant them going forward. But that is the opportunity that a district has, as well as under circumstances like this, to deny the application.
And my next question is, and Dr. Castro has indicated that he doesn't have the information, where were you attending school in the seventh grade when Caneo lost track of you? In Moore Park?
Yeah.
You went back to Moore Park?
I went like 2 or 3 months and then I left to Chaparral.
And went to Chaparral, okay. So you were going to Chaparral when they lost records of you?
Yeah, in the seventh grade.
When you came back, when he comes back to Redwood from Chaparral, which would be in the eighth grade, was it approved by both districts at that time?
Yes, I mean, technically both districts would have to allow it. Moore Park would have to release him, and the receiving district approves.
And that happened?
Yes.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly, it actually happened twice within the same grade level, twice within the eighth grade because of the caregiver situation.
Okay.
But again, to restate it since you've asked it again, that second, having had a chance to review his academic progress to that date, in that second approval, it was a conditional approval based on the items that we're discussing today.
So you were at Chaparral in the seventh grade?
Yes.
Then you came back to Redwood in the eighth grade?
Yes.
When did the bullying occur? In the seventh grade?
Yes.
Okay. No more questions.
Just one quick question. Because you've had the student in and out of the district, what's the rationale for why he's being rejected now for this transfer when yet you kept him on some of the disciplinary issues and behavior issues were already quite evident early on? How did your thought process go on?
I appreciate the opportunity to speak to that. So as I stated earlier, having had only a year to acclimate to the position, it has been my philosophy, but therefore in conversations with our assistant superintendent, our district philosophy is that we have not yet taken up the opportunity to revoke the appeals during mid-year because, one, being a parent myself, an educator, teacher, assistant principal, and now working at the district office, there is a sense of continuity that's important for students during a school year. I understand that there are complications that arise by allowing a student to finish the year, and then now we have to go through this process the following year. I understand that. Having taken that into consideration, I feel, in particular, it's in the best interest of students to allow them for that continuity, in particular because when we look at certain subgroups and subgroup performance, school instability is one of the leading contributors to students not being a full participant in their education. And I think we've seen that in some cases here. The fact that in seventh grade, we have no record of anything that's gone on, definitely didn't want to be contributing to that.
And did I understand you during your presentation, it sounded like the board doesn't routinely hear these, it's handled at staff level?
There's a component of the MOU that indicates that when a district does deny a permit, that we have an opportunity to hear even some of the information that we've heard today at that level to see if any of that can be addressed. That's why I'm not here in particular more often, because I work those things out at the site level. I'm sure between the lack of opportunity to speak and then summer and then vacations and those kinds of things, I'm sure how to become aware of it before being called during summer to know that this was going to happen, and we would have made that happen. I'm sorry that we weren't able to do that before today.
Can you elaborate just a little bit on what kind of behavior issues are we talking about?
Well, if you look at the behavior reports, there's constant disruption. When I had the opportunity to look at the detailed data that teachers have stated and review some other documents in this file, there's just a constant talking in the classroom, often defiance of authority. Even when there were notes from our assistant principal and our dean at the schools who deal with a lot of student discipline, the fact that they took the time to note defiance of authority, even meeting with the administration. Like I said before, I have no issue with students needing small incremental discipline. There's not a problem with the fact that he's assigned detentions. That's a great thing. But the fact that it's noted over and over and over over a two-year history of them not serving, not being accountable for those detentions, not showing up to the detentions, that's the issue that I have.
Jesse, do you have anything you'd like to say? We'd love to hear from you.
Could you speak in the microphone? Down the microphone?
Yes. Those attentions were, I served most of them, and I don't know if he's saying that I didn't serve half of those attentions, because I served most of those attentions that he said. Like, there was like, I don't know how many I didn't serve, but they put more time for me to serve them, and I served every single detention they gave me, that I got from every teacher.
How many detentions do you think you had?
I really don't know.
Going back to the district, we have the applicant claiming that he's served all those detentions. Is there anything in your system that could have slipped through the cracks that you wouldn't know about that? Or,
I'm a realist. Obviously, there are mistakes made. Are they common? I would say no. I think, listening to Jeffrey's answer, the information that kind of validates my perspective is that there's so many detentions that the fact that a few would not be served really leads to the point of that I asked the board to consider, which is the fact that he's receiving so many detentions that he can't keep accountable for, and assuming that maybe there are a couple of errors on district end, but a few on his end too of not being accountable for it, that speaks to potentially the level of disruption in a classroom and on a campus for district teachers and for district students to be considered by the board.
Jesse, what was your thought process when you received these detentions about why you didn't just immediately follow up and handle these detentions and they started to fall in arrears? Why weren't you taking care of that business?
I took care of every single detention they gave me. There were some that I didn't serve that they would put more time. If I didn't serve a 30-minute detention, they would give me an hour. I'd serve that hour. And I didn't get like a Saturday or anything. I didn't get in trouble, like big time trouble like that. I did get sent to the office sometimes by the dean of students and told me that I'd serve a detention, I'd get an hour. I'd get one time I got doubled, my detentions doubled, and I served both of those detentions.
And as far as the disruption in the class, I assume there's probably some issues there of
maybe
being a little disrespectful to the teachers or other students in class. How would you like to address that, please?
Well, I disrespected her. I'm not gonna lie, I disrespected a lot of teachers. And it was my fault that I did that. And I've learned from the mistakes already that I've done.
Any other questions from the board?
Just one quick question for Mr. Castro. On the current year behavior, I'm just curious, was there behavior in previous years that didn't make it to the packet, or was did it just start in the current year?
Yeah, so given the fact that we had no access to the seventh grade discipline records, what I did was I looked at sixth grade, and I didn't include it in the packet because I didn't think it was... It didn't share any additional information. It was more of the same. And it was the same kind of repeated history for all sixth grade. So, to state, he slightly improved his grades over that period of time. Not enough to be a student athlete, at least for the first semester at Teo High School. But what bothered me, having been a teacher and a school site administrator, was the constant disruptions to the classroom. And given that we have many students that we need to serve within our district, I would ask the board to consider whether or not, and we're not saying no to Jesse forever because he's been a student of ours and we treat our students very well. The issue is, can he demonstrate the ability to behave as any district would expect a student to behave at the high school level, demonstrate that even for a semester or a year, and reapply to show, as he said, that he's learned his lesson, because we'd be happy to take him and open him up with open arms, given that his brother did graduate from there, and his mother works in the district.
Question, please go ahead. Is it fair to ask Jesse and the parents? Would you agree that, let's say, halfway through your eighth grade, was it made sort of clear to you that you were there? It was a privilege to be there because you were on a transfer, and that it's like ship up or the end of the year you may be done in Connecticut. Yeah. Was that made clear to you?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. So halfway through the year, I knew I was failing my classes, and I put it up. I put my grades up because I knew I wasn't gonna pass. I just knew that all my classes I was gonna fail. And I put my grades up, that's what I did.
And he did. He did improve his grades, and that's why I was given credit to the fact that over that time his academic performance improved. Which is why that's not
what
the problem.
About the it seems to me the issue really isn't about your academic performance, it's about your deportment in class and the impact you had on teachers who were trying to teach to 30 other students and the distraction that you might provide, and I can understand them saying, you know, you were here, it was a privilege, it was a contract, and you kind of broke the contract, and we even warned you halfway through the year, but you're still breaking the contract by disrupting classroom. So I guess I can understand their point of view.
I don't
know if you see it differently.
I don't recall someone warning me about the contract halfway yet, actually.
Sorry?
I don't recall someone warning me about the...
The consequences of continued kind of misbehavior?
Mm-hmm.
No, to me, that would be a kind of a critical thing. Were there interventions along the way, like counselors are just sort of... I would think there are. I saw eight counseling
absences. And that's why I mentioned the AB 1729. It is a definitely district practice, probably a countywide practice, that we do try interventions. To be clear though, I would not in any way endorse any of our site administrators using an inter-district permit as a means of correction to say. I wouldn't endorse that. And I think that's an agreement between us and the parents, not between us and the student, and I think the student and their administration should deal with the behaviors at hand, and I would be uncomfortable using an inter-district
I started this asking as what the parent as well. And I understand that. So.
A couple things. First of all, a comment. I don't really understand why you did not receive the transcripts from Moore Park to Conejo Valley when he came back to Conejo Valley.
We may have received a transcript, and that transcript may have been in his cumulative folder that is his ongoing document at the school site. But given the time that we received this appeal during summer, I was not working. Became aware of the fact that the date was set for today.
Well, that is part of this whole process, and it should have been researched by you. Second, you keep referring to AB 17 and all of this type thing. You do understand that this board can disregard those and make a decision separate from those.
Yes, I understand that, and I would like to add that we're not of the mind to disrupt the student's education. If the board decides to allow them to continue, we would, if there were space permitted at TO High School, he would go to TO High School. We have no desire to complicate that.
In the student's request, I've noticed that you have semi-emphasized the athletic program at Thousand Oaks High School. You've heard Dr. Castro indicate that you could not participate.
Yes.
You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I guess I have one more question. Should the board rule to approve this appeal, are we then saying he's good to go for 4 years and not subject to any kind of conditional, the same sort of contract that he's been under in middle school?
If the student were entering 11th grade, you would have no recourse. My understanding is if you uphold the appeal and the student goes to Thousand Oaks High School, if he does not follow the rules of the district and continues disruptive behavior,
yes,
et cetera, they can, again, pull the permit.
Correct.
Okay, with that.
But Mr. Bates, sure. Let me ask one additional question of Jesse. Jesse, one of the statements you made that I tuned in on real quick was the fact you sort of learned from your past mistakes.
Yes.
I'm looking on here, current date says of April and May, detention, warning, detention. When did you have this epiphany where all of a sudden you're learning from your mistakes? Because this says this probably happened in the last month.
Yeah. Well, when I was going to something like this, my teacher, her name was Miss Dunlap, Cheryl Dunlap, and she would come with me outside and we would talk about everything. She said, why aren't you paying attention in class? And during this time of the end of the year, I was getting into some trouble because I had trouble with my grades and everything, and my behavior. Well, at times I would get really mad at my house, and then I wouldn't be able to focus. And then I would take out my anger at school.
You realize that's just not a good way to go, don't you? Yeah, it just doesn't solve or resolve anything.
Okay.
And it's all part of growing up. We understand. There's a lot of pressures on youth and kids nowadays. We understand that. But just like your mom has a job, and your dad has a job, and your relatives have a job, your job is to get an education. So when you're their age and you have children, you need to make sure those kids are going to be good. All us parents, we always want our kids to do better and learn more and be more successful than we are. And that's our main goal. When we let you loose in the classroom and you're in there and you're very disruptive, it's not only damaging to you, but it's damaging to that classroom. And then all students are affected, and that's not fair to the rest of the students. Are there any other questions of the applicant at this time?
Quick statement. I've heard your statement about correcting yourself. The problem is, when I look at the records, in the last 3 or 4 months, you still were having disruptive behavior, detention not served, discourtesy, defiance of authority. And this is in the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
For that reason, it is my opinion that an inter-district transfer is a privilege. and we can allow you to show improvement at Canale Valley, or we can let you show improvement at Moore Park, and then come back again for another interdistrict transfer. For that reason, I'm going to make a motion to deny the appeal. Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion and request a bit of discussion, if I may.
Call for a discussion. Go right ahead.
I want the family to know that this is one of the items that we struggle with the most, and we take these very, very seriously. The reason I'm struggling with this is I'm seeing an improvement in Jesse's grades academically. I would hope that trend would continue, but that's why I asked, and speaking to Jesse, for clarification from the district, if you were on a transfer for the first time or second time, you've been on transfer twice already. Again, as was stated earlier, it's a privilege. You're a guest in someone's home. And when I see, the one that really bothered me is defiance of authority. So when I see defiance of authority when you're a guest, I mean, if you're a guest in my house and you're defying my authority, it would be very difficult. The other part that I'm really, again, conflicted with is the family, the mother, works in the district. Had this been an inter-district transfer, and that was one of the requests of the family, I'm sorry.
Mom is trying to make a clarification. She works in Thousand Oaks, not the district.
Not the district.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I was presuming Thousand Oaks works in Thousand Oaks.
No, she works in the city of Thousand Oaks, not in the district.
No, I understand that. But again, that's something that we could consider. So again, I'm struggling with that piece because I can see it both ways. And again, I have to hear from my fellow board members. But they have been out also often.
Additional discussion?
No, I'm inclined to agree with the colleagues. I think we all agree that people, Jesse included, deserve a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. But I also don't want to send a message that, you can just keep doing what you're doing and there will be a situation like this every time it'll rescue you. And I think it would be really maybe instructive to have you hang in there. Go to Moore Park High and show your stuff. And then come back to Mayo and say, look, I've turned things around. So I can live with that. What do you think?
Jesse, my comments are, I routinely side with the parents and feel it's they're the best one to make the decision what to do with their child and where to send that child. There's been very few times I've voted against letting a student transfer. But it's always been the reasons of they brought a rep in the school, they've been disruptive to the school, maybe assaulted a teacher along the way. Those kind of things really bother me, because then all we're doing is moving a particular problem, and you've identified yourself that you're part of that problem. You're just moving that problem from one school district to another. The one thing I would tell you is, when I was your age, my life wasn't that much different than what I'm hearing from you now. I was not a nice student in school at all. It cost me dearly for years and years and years, not only to myself, but how dearly it cost my family. It's something I've spent years trying to make amends for and pay back for. And unfortunately, there's certain things that happen in life you can never make up for. I'm along with Dr. Lissabor. I'm concerned you're dealing with a bullying issue, but you can go to the school and they'll help you deal with that issue. I'm encouraged the fact that academically you're raising your grades. And the fact you said you sort of goofed off the first part and you've got these back up to here scrambling to get it done, tells me you're smart, all right, that you can do the work. I don't think that's the issue. I think there may be some stuff, whether it's in your family life, at school, or something that's causing some of the slash now and this kind of behavior. I think what's best for you at this stage of your game is go in, prove yourself at that school. instead of having this show up with disruptive behavior warnings, detention, and stuff, cure that issue. You can do that. That's an easy one. Just don't do it. All right? That's an easy one to cure. You obviously can move your grades up. So I feel pretty good about where you're going to take your grades. Get that one time in at that school district. Raise your grades. Get rid of all this current year behavior stuff. You come back, you'd probably get an approval from this board. But this time, I'm sorry, I just can't find it in my heart to allow you to do the transfer this time.
And to follow up on what he said, you probably wouldn't have to come to this board. You probably could get it from Kaneo Valley and from Moore Park without coming to this board.
Would there be no issue?
Actually, my bet is you don't want to stay at Moore Park. Listen.
All right, I'll put the question. We have a first, we have a second. Roll call vote, starting with Dr. Flores.
Yes.
I'm Lissabrook.
Aye.
And I'm an aye also. Again, thank you for coming this evening. I think we've got some clear-cut direction here as to what needs to take place. We'll be rooting for you. Go out there and make us proud. Thank you.
Just so you know, formally, the board's action is final, and the appeal has been denied. So you are no longer eligible to attend the Kaneo Valley School District. Moore Park is your district of residence. We would suggest strongly that you enroll in Moore Park High School for the coming year. You may have other alternatives. That's up to you. We will communicate the decision of the board, both to you and to each of the affected districts, within the next couple of days.
And Dr. Castro, you know, I've been as you once before us before and understand your short time of you've been there. I think some of the other board members expressed it. I'm going to tell you, we're used to quite a volume of information so we can make the decision. Yes, you almost can't overdo it for us.
Absolutely.
So, you know, to us, more is better so that we can make the proper decision. You have all that intimate knowledge, having worked with them and seen all the records, and we're sort of put on the spot tonight to sort of come up. And we want to do the right thing here, obviously, so more is better for us. If you give us too much, we'll tell you.
And again, Jesse, as the board has said, and Dr. Castro has been nodding his head. If wish to apply next year as a 10th grader for the Kaneo Valley Unified School District, and your records are good, they will look favorably upon that request.
And I've been notified that the parent might want to say something.
Yes.
Would you move the microphone down, please?
Mom is just telling me that in 3 or 4 months she will be moving to 2000 Oaks, where they've always lived.
We'll still have other concerns when we can talk about
those. Okay.
Thank you very much.
One other statement, having grandchildren that attended Moore Park High School, you're going to enjoy it.
My boys went to Moore Park, it's a fine school.
Thank you.
All right, at this time, we'll move on with the rest of our agenda. We have no closed session items, no item E. Correspondence. At this time, President, board member reports. Mr. Bates?
None.
Dr. Flores?
None.
Dr. Lissabrook? I have nothing at this time either.
Only, well, first, with regard to the upcoming events, obviously we would welcome board attendance at our leadership retreat on September 1, and also I'm sure that the sacrament would love to know your plans with regard to the CCBE Fall Conference and CSBA's annual conference as soon as you are able to make a decision on attending those events.
I just asked the board randomly. I'm planning on attending both events. Is anybody else planning on attending both events?
I don't want to see them operate.
I have reservations for the new venue. Oh, okay. Well, we'll have a good turnout and a good representation of the board.
No, no doubt, Mr. Board.
Both Mr. Bates answer?
Mr. Bates is planning to attend the CSBA conference in San Diego.
And Nancy's already made the reservations, and we're discussing about where I'm going to stay.
Legislative reports?
One, please. Superintendent's report.
Oh, I thought you were done.
No.
Okay.
I hadn't started yet.
Yeah, you're through.
and it won't be long. I just want to share with the board, typically at this time of year, per board policy, we bring to you a status report of where the office is with some of their significant milestone accomplishments. Typically, that is co-joined with the board's review of the superintendent's compensation. For this year, at this point in time, since we are mid-cycle in a two-year cycle of goals and objectives and areas of focus accomplishment, we have chosen to just provide you with a written report of those activities we believe are successes in support of the areas of focus. It's a very small tip of the iceberg synopsis. There are probably 50 to 60 objectives we could have brought you. We will be bringing you a much more robust report next year, and we also do not wish to entertain a review of the superintendent's compensation for this year. That's my report.
I'll second that motion.
Would you like to pick out one or two items, just elaborate on a little bit for the board?
Well, we'll leave it as a homework exercise, but we're obviously extremely pleased with the progress we've made in the area of migration to fee-for-service under the new funding model. Extremely pleased with some of the response to our programs, like our administrative credential program, the reauthorization of our other credential programs, the Career Pathways Trust Grants, all huge milestones for the office and a testament to the great staff that works here and supports our school districts and our students.
Have you experienced any internal issues with any of the districts or with our office as far as this transition to Common Core and all that going on? Are you comfortable with the progress on that?
With our state standards, our work is ongoing. It will be ongoing for some time. We feel that the districts and the teaching, the certificated staff and leadership of the districts are extremely appreciative of our work with regard to the state standards.
Okay, actually, I had a chance to meet with the superintendent, one of the board members in CME, and that was one of the things that came loud and clear from them. The coordination in this office on assisting them has just been a real cut above, so kind of compliments to you and staff on that. All right, at this time we'll take a look at item J, consent action calendar. Does anybody want anything pulled, or would somebody like to make a motion to cover those all in one fell swoop?
Motion to approve consent action.
Second.
First by Mr. Bates, second by Dr. Lissagor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes 4-0. This time we'll move on. We have no item K presentations. We're going to move on to item L1, adoption of 2015-16 course of study for Carton Community Schools Special Education Career Education Center.
That's correct. There is backup material in your packet with regard to a number of changes that have occurred in the courses of study. Much of it will be titling to update it for the 21st century in those offerings. This is an item which has been brought to the board previously, and the courses of study themselves have been available for review both to the board and to the public. And this evening we are asking for your formal vote to adopt those courses of study for our offices. Dr. Rice, did you want to add anything?
You covered it. This was presented to you at the last meeting.
Yeah, it's an alignment subject material. That's pretty straightforward.
Move to adopt.
First by Mr. Usagor.
Second.
Second by Dr. Flores. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes 4-0. Move on to L2, adoption of resolution 1503, Prop 30 Education Protection Account. Information action item, Mr. Mendez.
Yes, this is a statutory requirement regarding funding that comes from Proposition 30. It concerns a whopping less than $40,000 worth of money that we must account for and that is not allowed to be spent for administrative purposes. And as you will see from the back of documentation, there is an income and expense summary for you. And this, I invite Ms. Key to add anything that she would like to, but we are asking that the board adopt Resolution 1503 to satisfy this requirement of law.
Anything, Mira?
Would you like some explanation?
No, it's pretty straightforward to me, but
motion to adopt. Moved by Mr. Bates.
Second
by Dr. Flores. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes 4-0. On the board member comments, Mr. Bates?
None at this time.
Dr. Flores?
None.
Dr. Lucibo?
Just an apology and advance warning. I've been called back to Nepal and will miss the August board member.
So don't shake it up as much this time over there.
No. It's under landing next time.
Yeah, for sure. I have nothing to report back at this time. Anybody have any items they want to bring up for future agenda items?
Just want to share under item N3, possible endorsement of CCB at large. I have not heard from the candidate, and the last time we communicated, there was a delay in the applications being available. So I'll touch base and make sure that that's the one item. I'll communicate with Mr. Kennedy if we need to keep it or take it off.
All right. Well, you know what? Rather than us having a short change that, if something comes up, just advise Mr. Mantu can handle it at that end. All right, future meetings Monday, August 24th, and I believe we have some more inter-district transfers coming up.
We have one.
One.
We have one that we know of.
Okay.
Possibly two.
Possibly two.
So far.
All right. And then next meeting after will be Monday, September 28th. So at this time, hearing no other comments, we'll adjourn. And,
A question.
Yes.
I'd like to the board. This is a reference to the email from Mr. Mantu about the passing of Mrs. Hammond's father, so I'm wondering if it would be appropriate to adjourn in memory of Mr. Hammond.
Excellent point. Yes, we will adjourn the meeting in honor of Nancy's father, Bruce Hendricks. Bruce Hendricks, yes.
Let the minutes reflect that.
Sure. Thank you, Ramona. Remiss on my part not to remember that. But this time we're going to adjourn at 7:02. Thank you, Board.